followers of Jesus have been given a commandment that is both old and new. Love. Love one another.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Before we look into God's Word here today, I guess to reflect for just a moment on something, on a particular subject that has been the subject of more books, more songs, and more poems have been written about this particular subject than any other. And it's a huge part of our lives. So what do you think it is? More books, more songs, more poems have been written about this than anything else. What do you think that is? What is that? Love. That's right. Love. The primacy of love. When I say primacy, I mean the importance of it, how it comes first. The importance of love. The first place of love. I have to tell you that one of the privileges that I've had in ministry has been able to come alongside people who are grieving loss, come alongside them and minister to them as they grieve the loss of a loved one and at a funeral or a memorial service. And as I'm planning for those services, as I meet with that person or meet with that family to talk about this loved one, I've noticed then that there seems to be one theme that emerges as being more significant than anything else. And I see this over and over again. The one thing that seems to be remembered the most or emphasized the most is what, do you suppose? It's love. That person's love. Their love for their family. That family's love for that individual, for that person. Love. Now, I've been talking about human relationships and human love here. But there is another love. There is a greater love than any human love. And that is God's love. That in the Scriptures we see, this is, the Bible effectively is what? It is a love story, isn't it? It's the story of God's love for lost human beings, who because of sin are under God's holy and righteous judgment, but because God is love, He has sent a Savior, a Redeemer. It's the story of God's love. But it also in it is revealed God's righteousness, the truth of God. What God says is right and good, His righteousness. And He has given His law to explain, to show us what is right. But in God's law, there is one commandment that is greater than any other. In fact, Jesus was being challenged by some teachers of the law, and they said to him, "Tell us, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? What is the most important commandment of all?" And Jesus said, what? That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What? With all of your being. That's the greatest commandment of all. To love God first. To love Him with all of our being. And then he said, and the second one is like it. Which is what? That we must love our neighbor as yourself. So when we love God first and foremost, actually, everything else is going to fit in place in the law of God, isn't it? We love even when we get distracted by things, don't we, folks? Especially then. Especially stressed out pastors. Remember I told you to pray for me? Love Him more than anything else, and love your neighbor as yourself. The primacy of love. Well, John, the Apostle John, has something to say about that. As we continue in our series in 1 John, walking in light and love, we're told to walk in love. That followers of Jesus have been given a commandment that is both old and new. Love. Love one another. We're in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 14 today. Before we look at that, a little context here. What has John said? Where has he been taking us here? Well, again, remember, he was writing these things to correct some false teaching that was creeping into the church about who Jesus is and what it means to be a follower of Christ. And he wants us to know these things, to obey these things, in order that our joy might be complete. He says that, you know, if we say that we have fellowship with God, that we know God, but yet we walk in darkness, then we're lying and we're not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, then we truly have fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us. If we deny that we have sin, we deceive ourselves and we call God a liar. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we sin, and we will, won't we? Remember, we have an advocate. We have a helper, a counselor, our lawyer, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. And he, our helper, our advocate, he has fully satisfied all of God's judgment on our sin. Every bit of it, for everyone. And so when we walk, though, in obedience, it can give us assurance. Assurance that we have come to truly know God. Well, if we're going to walk in obedience, we need to know what God says we are to do. And here we see then the primacy, the first place of love. So he says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." So we're told to walk in love, that first we have a both old and new commandment. You know, it's one commandment to love, but it is an old commandment. Nothing new about the commandment to love. But yet there's something new about it as well. It said, it is an old commandment. The word that you have heard, from the beginning, they've had this. And what is that commandment? Again, is what it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all of your being. And the second is like it, what? To love your neighbor as yourself. There's nothing new about that. That is an old commandment in God's word, isn't it? As I said before, you know, when we understand that commandment, that greatest commandment, to love God first, to love our neighbor as ourself, everything else in God's law fits into place then, doesn't it? Because if we love God first and foremost, are we going to worship or serve other gods? Are we going to worship idols? No, we're not. How can we love God first and worship idols? You can't. Are we going to honor him above all else? Are we going to honor his word? Yes, we are. And if we are loving our neighbor as ourselves, are we going to murder our neighbor then? Are we going to steal from our neighbor? Are we going to lie to our neighbor? Are we going to covet what our neighbor has? No, we're not going to do any of those things if we love our neighbor as ourselves. Because do you want to be murdered? Do you want to be stolen from? Do you want to be lied to? Do you want others to be covetous over what you have? No. So when we love God first and love our neighbor as ourselves, it's an old commandment, and we are fulfilling the law of God in doing that. And yet, so it's an old commandment, and yet there's something new about this commandment to love. What is that? Well, there is a new standard of love and a new force in that love that is new to love. As Jesus was gathered with his disciples in that upper room the night before he was crucified, he was teaching them, and he was telling them that what? He was soon going to depart from them. Now, he had told them on many occasions that he was going to be rejected, that he was going to be arrested, crucified, that he was going to die, he'd be buried, but he would rise again on the third day. He had told his disciples that on a number of occasions, but it still wasn't quite registering with them. They still had visions of messianic glory, a different kind of glory they had in mind than the glory that was coming. But now it was finally sinking in, starting to get it. And Jesus knew that they were going to need one another in these dark, tough days ahead. And so he said to them, what? A new commandment I give you. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. Loving one another is not new. But what is new? Jesus said what? As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. Man, that's a whole new standard of love, isn't it? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's one thing. But love one another as Jesus has loved us? Wow, right? How has he loved us? Ultimately, supremely, sacrificially. You know, sometimes when we use that word love and we think of love, and remember I said all those books and songs and poems and all of that? A lot of those things focus on an emotional aspect or a feeling aspect of love, don't they? Is love a feeling? Is there a feeling component of love? Sure. But that feeling isn't love, though, in and of itself, is it? What is love? Love is, it's our actions. It's our choices that we make to extend ourselves for the well-being of another person, even if it comes, especially if it comes at cost to ourselves. That's real love. You know, to do something for another person that doesn't cost you anything is no big deal. Is that a test of love? Not at all, right? But when something is hard, when it does cost us, when it's extremely inconvenient, that's a test of love, isn't it? So love is our actions. It's what we do for the good of another, especially when it's hard. And Jesus said, was the cross inconvenient to Jesus? I'd say far beyond inconvenient, wasn't it? It was not an inconvenience. It was the most horrible, awful thing that's ever happened. And yet he willingly embraced it. What the scripture says, for the joy set before him, he endured it. Why? Because of his love for you and for me. Now, none of us can possibly love exactly like that, can we? We can't. But that same attitude is what we are called to imitate, to emulate. That attitude of sacrifice and enduring hardship, difficulty, and pain for the good of another. That's love. So it is an old commandment, but it's new in that there is a new force. There is a new standard. And by the way, I want to mention this one too. That's a pretty high standard, isn't it? And we can feel overwhelmed. Have you ever felt a little overwhelmed by what God calls us to? I have. All of us have, haven't we? If you have not felt a little overwhelmed by what God calls us to, I don't think you've really understood. We have not really understood what God has said if it doesn't feel intimidating and overwhelming. But here's the other side of that, though, is God says, God calls us to this. Now, he knows we're imperfect. He knows we're going to fail, right? He knows we need constant forgiveness. But he also, though, provides the power to do it. It isn't something you and I can do ourselves. It's God's very own power in the person of his Holy Spirit who lives within us. So my life, our lives together as followers of Jesus, yeah, it's a high standard, but it's a life that we can live as we're in submission to and in dependency on God and his Holy Spirit in us. And I get little reminders from time to time about that. Do you? So it's an old commandment, but it is a new commandment too. It's a new standard, but it's also God's love in us, flowing in us and out of us to others. Not our own love, God's love. John says, too, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. You know, I know when we look at the world, we see an awful lot of darkness out there, don't we? But yet, it is passing away. With the coming of Christ and his victory on the cross and his resurrection, with the preaching of the gospel, as that goes forth, the darkness is passing away. And the true light, Christ, is already shining. And we proclaim that true light as we preach the gospel. The darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. However, though, that darkness will not be fully vanquished until the final judgment in the end days, will it? But right now, it's passing away through Christ's victory, through his light shining in the darkness. And you and I are witnesses of that, to proclaim that. So as we walk in love, remember, we have a commandment then that is both old and new. But then also we are told, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So we're told to walk in love, an old commandment, a new commandment, but we're also told to walk in light. And that if we say that we are in the light, but yet we have hatred instead of love, well then, we're actually walking in darkness. You're still in darkness. You know, I wish I could say that I love perfectly as Christ has loved me. I love others. I haven't arrived. I'm still working on that one. We all are, aren't we? But to hate another, can we say that we are in the light with Christ? That we are walking in the light with Christ and yet hate others, hate one another? Can we do that? No, we're lying, right? We're in darkness. See, because I was talking about it in our Romans class here this morning. We're talking a little bit about the backstory of Paul, the Apostle Paul. That When Jesus confronted him, Paul, he was on the road to Damascus. He was going to persecute more followers of Christ. And Jesus confronted him. And Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Now, who is he persecuting? He was persecuting Christians, followers of Christ, right? So he says, "So why do you persecute me?" See, to persecute a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is to persecute Jesus himself. Why? Because we are the objects of his love. That's why he tells us, "As I have loved you, love one." He loves you and me so much. He wants us to love one another the way he loves us. That when we hate one another, it's hating Jesus, isn't it? So whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. But whoever loves his brother abides or remains in the light. And for this person who is abiding or remaining in the light, loving his brother, his sister, and this person there is no cause for stumbling. That is, love sets us on the right, straight path. It removes obstacles from the path so that we can walk straight and we don't stumble over sin. We can walk securely. But a lack of love or a hatred means we're in darkness and it causes us then to stumble because we can't see what we're walking over, right? How many of you know my favorite story of walking in physical darkness? I won't tell you the whole story again. Goes back, it was a few years ago now. It was a youth group down in the bay. They loved to play, I always want to say hide and seek, but it isn't. It's called seek and hide, right? They loved to play seek and hide in pitch black basement. And I always made fun of the kids because they used their phones for light, how they turned their phones on so they could see in the light. I thought they were just wimps, you know, who didn't want to navigate their way through total pitch black. I didn't need that light. Until I rammed my shin into a table, a wooden table, about this high. And I am glad to say that while it tested my sanctification, nothing came out that was young ears shouldn't hear. But boy, it hurt, right? You know what? When we walk in darkness and rebellion against God and what he says, we're going to get hurt. And we're going to hurt others too. So, but the one who's walking in the light, there's no cause for stumbling. We're going to see clearly. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going and is going to stumble. Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Final portion of our scripture for today. John addresses these men and women in the church. And he uses some terms here, little children, children, fathers, young men. And there have been some Bible scholars who have debated about what exactly did he mean. Is he talking about chronologically younger and older people? Or is he talking about spiritually younger and older people? Maybe. Maybe one, maybe both. Or as some believe, and I'm inclined to think, he's actually talking to all believers, that this should represent all of us in one way or another. But what does he say? I want you, as we read these verses 12 through 14, I want you to notice three key themes that are going to emerge here as we walk in love. John says, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Just there is a theme there as he is writing to these folks in the church here. There's a theme here. Three things keep coming up in what he says there. Those are forgiveness, knowledge of God, knowing God, and victory. Victory over darkness, victory over sin, victory over the evil one. Forgiveness, knowledge, and victory. That as we walk with Christ, we know that we have forgiveness of sins. As we walk with Christ, we come to know Him, to know the Father, knowledge of God. And as we walk with Him, we are strengthened by Him and through Him, and through Him there is victory. We overcome. We overcome the evil one, and God's Word abides in us. So as we walk in light, as we walk in love, we walk with the knowledge of the forgiveness of our sins. We walk in knowledge of God and increasing in our knowledge of God. And we walk in victory as God's Word abides in us. And we overcome the darkness, overcome the evil one. Well, so what? What is this word of John, what John is saying here today, have to do with you and me today? Start off by reminding us here again that followers of Jesus, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we have been given a commandment. It's a commandment that is both old and new, to love one another. And as I think about this challenge to love, remember, the source of love doesn't come from within me. It doesn't come from within you. It's God's love that He pours out on us that flows into us and out to others. And there's a wonderful passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorite chapters in Scripture that talks about what love is, what it does. Who knows where I'm going? What chapter? 1 Corinthians 13, right? Let's finish this today by just reflecting on what the Word of God says, what love is, what love does. Love is as love does, right? It says, Paul here speaking, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Wow, it's incredible how important love is, we see there, right? That's some pretty impressive stuff there. Being able to speak all these tongues of men and angels, prophetic powers, have all this knowledge, understand all these things, have great faith that can move mountains, but if you don't love, so what? See, Paul was talking to a dysfunctional church in Corinth that had a lot of problems, but you know what at the heart of it, what the heart of their problem was? They didn't love. They didn't love one another. And if they did, that would solve a lot of the problems in their church. So he says here, well, what is love? Well, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now, as for prophecies, they'll pass away. For tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully now known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why is the greatest of these love? Faith, hope, and love. Because love is the only one that's going to last forever. Are we going to need faith when we're in the presence of the Lord? Are we going to need hope when all that God has promised has been given to us? But we will always love. And that's why the greatest of these is love. So I'll conclude with a couple of questions. One is, are you growing in knowing the love of Jesus? Are you growing in knowing the love of Jesus? See, we can't love one another until we really understand the love of Jesus for us. How can we love as Jesus loves unless we know and have experienced and are receiving constantly the love of Jesus for us, right? So are you growing in knowing the love of Jesus? How can we grow in knowing Him and grow in His love? Being in His Word, talking with Him, worshiping Him, receiving encouragement from one another. These are just some of the ways we grow in knowing the love of Jesus for us. But then that is a love that we extend to others. Are you growing in extending the love of Jesus to others? As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the supreme love that you have showed us. Lord, in humbling yourself, leaving your throne and taking on human flesh, being made like one of us, the ultimate humbling. But then not only the humbling of becoming human, but then to be a servant, an obedient servant then, even unto death, and not any death, but the worst death. Death on a cross, and not just a physical suffering, but the spiritual suffering that you endured when you were punished for our sins. You have loved us supremely, ultimately, sacrificially. Lord, we cannot love one another in that same way. But by your love in us, we can extend that love to others. So we confess our need, our dependency on you. I pray, Father, that you would help us to grow in our knowledge of you and of the love of Jesus for us and in us, that we would grow in extending that love to one another, that we would be faithful to your word. Lord, may we not walk in the darkness and stumble, but may we walk in the light and extend his love as we have been loved. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.